What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. So last week, we talked about vulnerability. And vulnerability, we were talking about is one of the five elements of intimacy. And basically, I guess just to start the conversation today, if you have, so it's common that we think that if I have the five elements of intimacy, that I'm talking about having them with somebody else. Because usually when the word intimacy comes into the conversation, you think about, okay, maybe a significant other or somebody you're intimate with in your life. But actually what I'm talking about is having these five elements of intimacy with yourself. And if you're somebody like I was for a really long time who really desires to create and actualize a relationship, a partnership, a creationship with somebody in your life, having these five elements of intimacy with yourself first actually creates the invitation for that to show up in your life. Now, I'm not saying you can't have intimacy with other people or even be in an intimate relationship without these things with yourself. And at the same time, it's often, if we're looking to somebody else to fulfill these five elements, there's going to be something missing. There's going to be an energetic incongruency and inconsistency because you don't have them with yourself first. And if you're looking to somebody else to be your source for these things, there'll always be this energy of something's missing. And then you may create a problem or create issues with that partner or that person because you don't have this with yourself, so you think then there's something wrong between you and this other person. So whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, in a partnership, not in a partnership, doesn't really matter. You can take these five elements of intimacy, and as you dive deeper into them for yourself, you can then create, you could better the relationships that you're in, or create even more generative and better relationships if you're not in a partnership that, and you're looking for one or desiring one in your life. A little bit of background, since it's just me, it's all you get today. Unless somebody wants to call in for questions, you're welcome to. but I was one of those people. And so this particular five elements of intimacy subject for me is was a game changer and a life changer for me. I pretty much grew up, I mean, I think I was probably 10 years old and I started dreaming about the one. And, you know, I was a Chicago fan. I don't know if any of you are Chicago fans. But Chicago, when I was 10, was literally just, you know, the most sappy romantic romantic songs out there. At least that's my memory of them. There may have been others going on, but that's what I can really remember was. And I would write Chicago ballad lyrics on, like, I'd be out in the wilderness at the beach writing ballad lyrics on rocks and stuff. So I was kind of a romantic early and was already, you know, I'm sure the fairy tales and the dreams that everybody, not the dreams, the shows, you know, the Disney movies that we all watched growing up contributed to a lot of that as well, right? There's just this like, and then seeing my own parents fall in love, get married, and you know, divorced. And so I thought that that was what I was supposed to do, and that was what my life was going to be about. And I found, and I, that really was my search for years and years and years. I was searching for the one. I was searching, and no, that didn't start when I was 10, but it started to like percolate then, I guess. And even in high school, had a high school sweetheart, you know, thought that he was the one. And, you know, it's interesting to me looking back now, right, 30 years later, how predominant that energy was so young and so early in my personal life. And for 30 years, maybe a little bit less at this juncture, but I searched for the one. I had lots of relationships. I've been married twice. I've been divorced twice. and every time, you know, thought, well, maybe this is the one, right? Excuse me. So what was interesting was, you know, I can look back now and like, and see this energy that even when I was in a relationship that was really good and going really well, there still always felt like something was missing to me. And of course, I would create a problem, or I would, you know, find a reason why something must be wrong with the relationship. And I mean, I was married to my last husband for 7 years, so it wasn't like this necessarily happened fast all the time. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But then over time, there was still this like, there's something missing, and there must be something wrong with this relationship. And so then the relationship would come to an end, and I'd be like looking for the next one. Sometimes having the next one lined up before the other one was over. And I also remember, like, when I wasn't in relationship or in partnership, how, like, bad and wrong and empty I felt. Like, there was just always this energy of, like, something's missing in my life, and it must be that. There must be. And then to actually have a belief that there's only one person on the whole planet for you, out of 8 billion people, you get to find that one person. Good luck. So fast forward about 25 years, I discovered Access Consciousness. And in Access Consciousness, these tools, the 5 elements of intimacy, came into my awareness and were shared with me. And I learned them. And at first, I was like, yeah, yeah, that's nice. That's cool. that's good for everybody else, but, you know, I'm good. And it wasn't until my previous relationship that actually ended up to be probably one of the most traumatic and not fun experiences of my life. And until that particular one, and I went, wait, hang on a second. Something is missing here, right? But I knew that if I ended that relationship, I would just, without doing something different, I would just seek for the next one. And then I'd be in the same exact, you know, different flavor ice cream. Wasn't really ice cream. But, you know, that a lot of people say if you, you know, that you date the same person over and over again, just in a different body, they just look a little different. Well, I was different. I definitely had some patterns that were happening, and I could see them loud and clear. So there is a point to me sharing all this. Stick with me. So for me, when I finally said, you know what, I've got to do something different, and getting out of this relationship and getting into the next one is not, I've done that for 30 years, and I'm not going to do that anymore. It wasn't quite 30 years. Let's say 20 years. But I'm not going to do that to myself anymore because I have to figure this out. I have to do something different. So after the end of my previous relationship, partnership, I took a year and did some like really strong soul searching. And what I did is I took this, the five elements of intimacy, and I studied them and I applied them and I practiced them and I looked at them for me. And I got to a place for myself that I had never gotten in my life, a place where for the first time ever, there wasn't something missing. I didn't feel like there was something missing, and it had to do with some relationship that I hadn't found yet. Because in a way it had led me to realizing that the relationship that our partnership that I have always desired was with myself. And then anything else above that, any other relationship you have in your life can be a bonus. It can be an addition to it. And for me, that was what came about. As a matter of fact, I was in such bliss being in the five elements of intimacy with myself and really connecting with myself for the first time in my life, really. And when that happened, it was like I came home to myself. I came home to, and there was no more seeking. There was no more like, I got to go outside of myself to find this. So like I said, the five elements of intimacy are very near and dear to my heart because they helped me find me. And every relationship I have now and every partnership I have now in my life it's frosting on the cake, but it's not looking for the cake itself, right? I'm the cake. So my invitation to you is, take what works for you here and leave the rest. And if you'd be willing for, last week we started it, and then this week and the next few weeks, to maybe just look at this for yourself. And if you were to take these things on for yourself, with and for yourself, what might that create in your life and your relationships? What it is that you really would like to have in addition to. So it's just a little background story about the five elements of intimacy. And last week we talked about vulnerability, and we talked about like where we hide ourselves and keep ourselves small and try to pretend that we're not as brilliant as we really are, so that others won't feel less than around us. And it reminds me of that Let Your Light Shine poem by Nelson Mandela or Marianne Williamson. Anyway, so I'm wondering if any of you had a chance to just play with being vulnerable and being willing to be exposed, to be you. Because if we're not being us, if we're not being vulnerable and exposed, then we're not really being us. And then when we're not really being us, then there's something missing. So again, taking us back to what I was just talking about for myself, I felt for years and years and years, felt like something was missing. So what if that piece that you think has been missing in your life is just you, and you being there for you? So let's just start. Well, we're way past starting, but let's just do deepest barriers down again. Deepest barriers down, even the ones you don't know about. Take them down, tear them down, push them down, blow them up. Just destroy and uncreate them. And would you be willing to just be here and be vulnerable and be exposed just for the next 10 seconds or maybe the next 40 minutes, right? So, but just be here. It's safe. And see what's available if you're really willing to be vulnerable, if you're really willing to be exposed, if you're willing to just show up as you without apology, without a wall, without feeling like you need to protect yourself. And just be here for you. Just see what that creates. In 40 minutes, when the show's over, you can pick up back your walls. You can close yourself off from the rest of the world. But I invite you to maybe just try it on for the next 40 minutes and see what else might be possible if you would just be here for you. Great, thank you. And when we come back from the break, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about trust. And trust is another of the five elements of intimacy. And so over the break, I wanted to just invite you to just look at for a minute, do you trust yourself? And be really honest with yourself. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But just be willing, would you be willing to just take a look at it? Do you trust yourself? And maybe write down a few things about what you do trust about yourself. And maybe write down a few things of what you don't trust about yourself. And we'll be back from the break in just a minute. You can call in and ask questions at 202-570-7057.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
What is magnificent about you that you've never acknowledged? Are you ready to let your own light shine? What if you were 1,000 times more potent and powerful than you give yourself credit for? What if there was a monthly call that is designed specifically to empower you to be all you can be? Would that be fun for you? Venus Castleberg is now offering a Magnificence monthly membership for only $50 a month. Mention this ad and receive 50% off. To register or for more information about the membership, events, and services, please go to www.venuscastleberg.com. Is now the time to be different?
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Cool. I know I dropped a bomb on some of you. You're like, whoa, she dove right into like, do you trust yourself? Okay, so let me clarify something, because I know that this is, I probably should have done this first, but oh well. So trust, let's just go to actually a definition of trust. Trust is not blind faith. So that's often a misconception, right? Like, I have blind faith that this person's going to do something. So, for example, if you're a woman and you expect the man to put the toilet seat down, is that, and he's not somebody who does that already, are you having blind faith that he's going to change his stars for you? That he's going to change how he operates for you? Or what trust really means is that you can trust that that person's going to be the same tomorrow as they were today. So if your man doesn't put the toilet seat down, he's not going to put the toilet seat down tomorrow. That is actually trust. That person's going to show up the same way that they showed up today. Now, the reason why that's so important is because we've misidentified trust to mean blind faith. And then, of course, there creates this crunchiness when, you know, I'm trying to train my man to put the toilet seat down and he's not doing it. That then you get upset with the man because he's not putting the toilet seat down, but he's never put the toilet seat down. And I love this. I actually had a guy, one of my mentors, actually say that he's like, we don't expect you to put it back up when you're done. I was like, that's a really, really good point. So I'm not talking about blind faith when I say trust. I'm asking, do you trust yourself to be the same tomorrow as you will be today? And this is actually really, really important, even if you want to change something. And the reason is this. If you really want to change something in your life, how do you think you do that? Do you change something by judging yourself, making yourself wrong for not doing it? Or could you change yourself a lot faster if you acknowledge where you are, acknowledge what you're choosing, meet yourself where you're really at, and then choose something different? Judgment kills possibility. Judgment kills what's possible in your life. It kills relationships. Judgments kill, right? So if you're judging your man because he's not putting the toilet seat down, are you in gratitude for him? Right? But can you trust that that man that's in your life, you know, there's something about him that drew you to him in the first place? And can you trust that that man is still there? That, you know, whether it's somebody who, you know, there's things that are minor that maybe don't mean that much, that are nice, you know, whatever. But then there's like, does he show up for you? Does he talk, you know, about you kindly to others? Is he listen to you, you know? And really pay attention to, like, can you trust him to be that, right? Not changing him. It's not about changing anybody here. It's about trusting them to be exactly the way that they were yesterday, today. And they're going to be the way that they were today, tomorrow. And sure, yes, people do change, but they don't change from your expectation of them. So have you ever noticed, if you really want somebody to change and you're like judging them and telling them what to do, how much more they resist you and how much longer they take to change something? Like, let's say you have a friend who's dating a guy that's not really good for them. If you're telling that friend that that guy's not good for you, that friend's probably going to stay with that guy a lot longer just because you're resistant to them. But if you're like, okay, you know, this is your choice, this is your life, they're going to come around a lot faster than if you're telling them what to do. So, it seems like a little bit of a tangent, and I wanted to bring it back to you. So if you would just take a minute to recognize and acknowledge, what are you really choosing in your life right now? And maybe there's something in your life that you'd really like to change. Maybe there is something that you really like to be different. Would you be willing to just acknowledge where you are? So let's say financially, maybe financially you're like, I'd really like to change things financially. Can you be grateful for and acknowledge where you are? And that actually attracts the possibility of changing it and moving in the direction that you'd like to move into. However, the opposite is true. If you sit here and you're judging yourself for the money that you don't have, or you're judging yourself for what you're not creating in your life or not choosing in your life, does that motivate you to make other changes, to do something different? Not usually. Every once in a while it might for a little while, and then you'll be like, nah, whatever, right? You'll pick up reading for 5 days instead of making it a lifestyle change, right? So judgment doesn't change things. Acknowledgement does. So if you look at yourself, you can look at your life, like in general. You could look past, just look at the past 10 years. Can you see over the past 10 years that there's been some habits or patterns for yourself? And can you trust yourself to kind of be that? I finally, it was funny, I had to have like a lot of people tell me it before I could see it, which is also the other thing too. We often don't even see our own strengths. But I've had a lot of people, you know, point out, and more poignantly, they've been doing it in the last few years, was my kindness. And to me, I was like, well, isn't everybody like this? And then, you know, no, not everybody's like this. So, but can I trust myself to be that person? Can I trust myself to be kind? And I can. I know that that actually is part of who I am and is what, it's just who I choose to be. And can I trust myself that if I'm not careful, I can fall into some procrastination. I can be like, oh, I'll handle that later. I can do that later. Absolutely. And every time I push past it without judging it, but just going, okay, I'm going to choose something different here. I'm going to show up anyway. I'm going to do that anyway, even though right now, like, I don't know how and blah, blah, right? But I can trust myself that, yeah, I have a thread of procrastination and putting things off to a later date. That's trusting myself. Like, I can actually go, okay, yeah, that's, I'm going to be the same probably tomorrow too. And do I have to challenge myself beyond that? Sometimes I do. But the way that I challenge myself beyond that is by recognizing it, acknowledging it, not judging it, but then destroying and uncreating it, and then choosing something different. So everywhere where you haven't been willing to trust, let's just start with the basics, to trust yourself, to trust that you're going to be the same tomorrow as you were today, and that you're not going to put blind faith in yourself, and you're not going to, you know, do these unreachable goals and targets. Now, I'm not saying you can't have all those. You can. You can change anything in your life. But change it first by acknowledging where you're at. Be honest with yourself. Cool. So, in light of that, I'd also like to just talk about it in a different way. So, Now we want to dive into, like, okay, so do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself? Not do you have blind faith in yourself, but do you trust yourself? So if you wrote down all of your attributes, everything about you, good, the bad, and the ugly, and you wrote that list down, I'm actually going to have you do that over the break, but I'm going to mention it now, and then we'll come back to it right before the break. But if you wrote down all the attributes of yourself, everything that was good, everything that you thought was bad, everything that, you know, and everything, right, that you have, we're going to start listing those things over the break, because I want to come back and talk about those particular things. Now, we're not going to, obviously, we can't talk personally about them unless somebody wants to call in. So you're welcome to call in if you want to talk about your list personally. I'd be happy to do that with you. But just being willing to just be honest with yourself and acknowledge where you are, where you're at. That's first step. So that's the first step to trusting ourselves, is acknowledging where we are. And really take a moment, take the time, even if it's just for, you know, this next call or this next break, take the time to recognize and acknowledge what you're choosing in your life too. So what are you choosing? Are you choosing to stay in a relationship that's not working for you? Are you choosing to, you know, be middle class? Are you choosing to always have just enough money to get by, but never too much? So acknowledging your attributes and acknowledging what you're choosing. And we'll play with that a little bit over the break and then beyond that. So, and then let's just do a couple of clearings, because I'd love to clear out, like, everywhere where you believe that there's something wrong with you. Would you destroy and uncreate that times a godzillion? I'm going to assume somebody out there said yes, because I can't hear you, but right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, chores, boys, and beyonds. And everything that you've defined as a problem that could be a possibility, would you destroy and uncreate that too? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And everywhere where you're judging you, the rightness of you, the wrongness of you, everywhere where you have judgments on you, would you also destroy and uncreate all that times again, zillion? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And what ghillie suit of class are you using to hide in plain sight, are you choosing? And everything that is times God's laying, we destroy and uncreate it all. Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Cool. And everything that you've defined as a problem that could be a possibility, and if it's your definition that it's a problem that keeps it from being a possibility, would you destroy and uncreate that times a gazillion? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. What definitions are you using to create and define the problems you are choosing? Everything that is times a gazillion would destroy and uncreate all. Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And what definitions are you using to create and define you as a problem are you choosing? And everything that is, times God saying, we destroy and uncreate it all. Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So if you, thank you for letting me do those clearings, because I wanted to go, well, if you didn't have any problems, if there wasn't a problem in your relationship, if there wasn't a problem with you, if there wasn't a problem with your money flows, what else might be possible? What else could you choose if you weren't focused on the problem? Right? what else might be possible in your relationships if you weren't worried about the toilet seat? I mean, at the end of the day, is the toilet seat gonna, is that the end of the world? Really? I mean, it might be for you. And that's, everybody has their own stuff, but it's like, is it really though? I mean, in the whole, you know, world problems or what's going on in the world, is a toilet seat really going to make or break the bank? And if it's not, however you're using it to create comfortable distance and destroy your relationships, then that might be something to look at. Or not. But I really, you know, I really got to a place in my life where I'm just like, you know what? If I want, truthfully, if I want the toilet seat down, I just put the toilet seat down. I don't make somebody else wrong for it. I don't judge them for it. I just, if it's a preference of mine, then I do it. But I don't expect somebody else to own up to my preferences. I take care of it myself. So that's the power that you have when you actually start to look at, like, okay, is this stuff that I'm making a big deal in my life really a big deal? Or can I just choose something different? If you didn't have a problem, what else would be possible? What else could you choose? What else could possibly happen in your partnerships, your relationships, if you weren't focused on how they do the laundry or fold the laundry or, you know, like, it's just, it's funny the things that we make important that maybe aren't that important. So we're going to take a short break. I wanted you guys to just take a minute with your, write down all of your attributes. Not, you may not be able to get to all of them, but write down a bunch of your attributes and the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we'll come back to the other side and talk about it. Thank you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back. right before the break, I said, you know, write down some of your attributes. Good, the bad, the ugly. You know, write down things that you like about yourself, write down things that you don't like about yourself. Now, take a minute and go ahead and go to that list, if any of you have a list, and take a moment and look at that list and read through that list as if you were somebody else reading that list. So because nobody else is here right now, I'm going to go ahead and do mine. So my list is, I'm kind, bossy, control freak, tenacious, loving, joyful, fun. I like to laugh. I like newness, new things. I'm funny. I think I'm funny. Maybe I'm only funny to me, but that's okay. I believe I live a relatively charmed life for sure. Everything conspiring for me. I've definitely been optimistic and more optimistic in my life. I love beauty. I love nature. I love being in nature, but I also just really appreciate nature and plants and flowers. I'm kind of a beauty junkie, you could say. I'm definitely a little OCD. I probably have I haven't been diagnosed, but I probably have like OCD and autism and all that stuff rolled into one. definitely, not only am I a control freak, I'm a neat freak. Like, I like things very neat and orderly, and I think that's part of the OCD thing. So, you know, and I remember the first time somebody called me bossy and tenacious. Somebody called me tenacious too. And I was like, oh, ow. Like, I so didn't want to be those negative, what I thought were negative things, right? But when I read through my list, and that's only part of my list, but that's, you know, a few things just for, you know, demonstration. So let's say you just read through your list and you checked out everything. Would you trust that person? And I totally would. Even the things that I think aren't my best attributes and aren't that great, I would still trust that person. Would you trust you? Would you trust you with all of those things? Chances are, and maybe some of you got no, and if you did, that's fine. You can just destroy and uncreate that. But chances are, if you really look at you, you do trust you. Not the blind faith thing, but again, trusting you to be those things. I trust myself to be those things. I tried to resist a lot of those things for a while, for sure. But I do. I trust that person. I trust me. So now you can take that and go and look at that and go, okay, so do you trust you? Here's a different way of asking it. If you were looking for an employee to work for you and your company, would you hire that person? One time I had a friend, and this was before, you know, obviously before I took on the five elements of intimacy with myself, and I guess in a way found myself, but we were on the phone one day, and she said, would you date you? I remember being like, no. which I thought was really interesting that that came out of my mouth, right? And so years later, I got to a point, I even wrote an article on it once, like I got to a point of saying, yeah, I would. I totally would. I would date me. So would you date you? Even knowing all the things about you that you don't think you like, would you date you? And maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. But it's just, it's something to look at. And if you have some sort of judgment on yourself, that you're bad and you're wrong, that you're messed up, that, you know, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate that now, please? All the judgments you have on yourself and on your list and on anything that I've asked you today, would you destroy and uncreate at times of God's light? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine shorts, boys and yachts. This isn't a new flogging tool. Nothing that I put out there, hopefully you're taking as a new flogging tool. You know, we all beat ourselves up plenty, so you don't need to take anything I say to make it a new way of beating yourself up. If anything, if I say something and it lights you up, then it's true for you and maybe might be a contribution. And if it's heavy for you, just throw it out. Like, you definitely don't need to take anything I'm saying as truth. You know, I'm out here, I'm still learning as I go. I don't have anything handled. I haven't arrived anywhere, which, by the way, I don't think there's ever anywhere that we do arrive to. It took me a long time to get that one too. Anyway, side note, that was my squirrel for the day. So would you be willing now, and if any other judgments of yourself came up, and maybe you judge yourself because you do, you know, get on your partner's case for not doing something right, would you destroy and uncreate it? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine shorts, boys, and meons. Awesome. And so it's just something to look at. It's not, again, it's not a new flogging tool. It's not. But there is something else possible here, because I want to go back to the problems I started touching about on before the break and judgments. Basically, problems are, if you've deemed something is a problem, then you're judging something. But if you're focused on problems, if you're focusing on there's a problem I need to fix, how much are you able to create and choose something different? So if we're looking at this idea of trust, you know, would you be willing to not judge yourself or deem any part of yourself as a problem that then you have to fix, right? Because and everything that is, right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine shorts, boys and meons. So often, we are avoiding some sort of power and potency with the problems we're choosing. So what power and potency are you avoiding or refusing with the problems you are choosing, with the problems you are creating? Would you now destroy and uncreate all that times a godzillion? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine shorts, boys and meons. What if there weren't any problems? And I know I said that before, but I was just like, I love going back to, it's so easy to find a problem. We are designed to find problems. We're designed to find problems and learn to fix them. Like, and then that becomes our focus. But if your focus is on fixing problems, are you creating what you really want to see in the world? Or are you just solving problems all the time? And are you avoiding the magnificent, amazing, brilliant person that you truly are by looking at and focusing on and judging yourself or some way of being as a problem? What if everything you've deemed as a problem was actually a gift and a possibility? What if, like for me, one of my things, I'm a control freak of magnitude, totally a control freak of magnitude. When I stopped making that wrong, when I stop judging myself for being that and I just laugh about it now, oh, there I am being control freak of magnitude, ha ha ha. Like, it just goes away. I'm like, oh, it's not, you know, no, I don't need to control that. But I'm willing to just laugh at it and be like, okay. And yeah, you know what? Being a control freak, there are times when it actually really does contribute. Now, I know we all have already, a lot of us have already deemed it as negative. And so if we've deemed it as negative, then we're judging it, right? And we make it wrong. But what if it was actually a superpower? One of my mentors, when I was completing my studies with him, he called me, he was the one that called me tenacious. And he said, you're tenacious, you'll get there. And I had so many judgments on being tenacious. Like, I was so resistant to that. I was so, I know, I just felt like, oh my God, that's just such, I felt like it was such an insult. Like, he basically insulted me as I was leaving. And then I started to, like, look at the meaning of the word and talk and destroy and uncreate all the beliefs I had around it and all the judgments I had around it. And I went, tenacious, tenacious, tenacious. You know what? I never give up. I am not giving up. I am not going to throw in the towel. Like, I am tenacious and it is a superpower. But it took me a while to get there because I had to get out of the judgments that it was somehow bad and wrong or that it wasn't a nice thing to be, right? I'm like, no, actually it's a gift and capacity that I have. So what gifts and capacities do you have that you've never acknowledged? What if those things that you wrote on your list that you think are negative or wrong about you were actually gifts and capacities? So anything that doesn't have you see all of your attributes being a gift and capacity you have, will you destroy it and create that times a gazillion? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, puddle, nine shorts, boys, and meons. And then I go back to a little while ago when I was talking about, like, also if there is something in your life that you really want to change, you do still have to acknowledge where you are. So if, like, let's say the bossy, like, I can be bossy, for sure, I can be bossy. I'm not near as bossy as I used to be because, first of all, I had to be okay with it and just acknowledge, okay, I'm bossy. I do have that capacity sometimes to be bossy. And then when I do it now, though, I'll be like, oh, I'm being bossy. And I, you know, again, it's the acknowledging of it. But as soon as I acknowledge that I'm being that, then I can choose something different. And then I'm like, okay, is being bossy right now really creating greater? But I have a choice. But if I go into resistance and reaction and judge myself for being bossy, that's actually what sticks it. So judgment tends to stick things in place. It tends to make them more solid and real because then you're like judging them, resisting them, reacting to them. Maybe you're aligning and agreeing with them, whatever you're doing. So it makes it stick. But if you're willing to just go, oh, that's an interesting point of view. I have that point of view. And just acknowledge it, then it can change. You can change. You can choose something different. So all the places where you've stuck yourself and you haven't been willing or even acknowledge that you were able to change it. If you acknowledged it first, would you destroy and uncreate it times a gazillion? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pothole, nine shorts, boys, and neons. What power and potency are you avoiding or refusing with the problems you're choosing? Everything that is times a gazillion, would you destroy and uncreate it all? Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pothole, nine shorts, boys, and neons. What power and potency are you avoiding or refusing with the judgments you are choosing? And everything that is times a gazillion, you can destroy and uncreate it all. Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, puddle, nine shorts, boys, and meons. What power and potency are you avoiding or refusing with the judgments you are choosing. Everything that is, times of God's language, destroy and uncreate it all. Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, puddle, nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. What if your judgments were a way to distract yourself from what you were really capable of? So if I judge being a control freak, then I'm not able to see what I'm really capable of in using that as a superpower, right? If I judge me being a neat freak, I'm not able to see how that could possibly be a superpower. So truth be told, I actually got this new house that I'm renting because I'm a neat freak. And she loves neat freaks. So it worked in my favor. So just be you, trust you. Thank you for being here. I look forward to talking to you. I'm actually going to talk to you guys on Monday again. So we'll talk to you on Monday about honor. Have a great weekend.